Good morning, church. How are you? Let's do a sound check before we do what we have to do here. It's good to see you all. It's good to see Anna today. It's awesome. Just want to add something to the what we're going to be starting with my wife, with the young people. If your college kids come home, remember discipleship. It's not just for high schoolers and sixth graders and up. I believe that they need to be ministered to. So if your college students come and they're not doing anything on a Friday, bring them to me. And the Lord has something great for the young people of this church. I believe they are the strength of the future, and I believe they need to be discipleship. Okay? So with that in mind, if you have your Bible with you, I would like you to open it to Job chapter 7. We're going to be talking today about, can God really test me? Can God really test me? Job chapter 7. Verse 17 to 18. We're going to be reading those two verses. And one of the true champions of the Bible is definitely Job. You know, it is very common for us Christians just to know the beginning of Job and the ending of Job. But we don't talk about what happens in the middle. We don't talk about what happens between chapter, you know, 2 and all the way to the last chapter. I believe there's a lot of insight. There's a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of pearls. There's a lot of knowledge and treasures within the whole book of Job. And this is one of them. And I would like to take the time and kind of go through it. I don't think I'll have enough time. 30 minutes is just an introduction for me. I usually like to preach 2-3 hours because that's my call. That's one of the things I like. I like to teach. I like to, when I get into the Word, I like to, like, you know, when you're making stew, you cut the meat, you cut the carrot, and you season it all together. I get into the Word of God, and that is what I like about the Word of God. It's alive. Amen. I don't care what book of the Word you or the Bible you read, it's alive. It's going to talk to you if you're willing to. You know, that's what we have to open our minds and our hearts to the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you read. It could be Proverbs. It could be that genealogy of Jesus Christ. He's going to talk to you because that's how the Word of God is. It's alive. It's powerful. And it's up to us. So in Job 7, out of the New King James Version, it says, "What is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment?" Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning as we share your word. Father God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you give us insight as we talk and discuss and we see, Holy Spirit, what you want to speak to us this morning. We thank you for this word, Father God. I am your vessel. I will speak, Father God, what you have set in my heart. So release this word in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. As we see this two simple little verses, I want us to go through a few things that I believe that is going to help us for the rest of our lives. Okay? First of all, Job is talking here in a dialogue, and he asks the question, "What is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him?" In other versions of the Bible, it says that you should magnify men, that you think of men so highly important. Now, let that sink in. That's how God thinks of us. Okay? That you are concerned about us and keep us in his mind and take note of us every single day of our lives. That he should pay attention to what we do, to what we say. That's how God thinks of us. The first thing that I want you to understand is that God loves us beyond our human understanding. You have to know that. Because when you go through a test, this cannot leave your mind. God loves you. Don't ever, young people, don't ever forget that. You will go through tests and trials, tribulations. Your tribulations are going to be different than mine. But God loves us immensely. I just want to read a few verses in the Bible. In 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, I'm just going to paraphrase. It says that God cares about us with deep affection. If you think you care about your children, if you think you care about your wife and your husband, that is nothing compared to the love of God that He has for us. He loves us with the deepest affection. He watches over us very, very carefully. Matthew 13, 45 and 46, it says that He compares us to a merchant that is seeking a beautiful pearls. And he found it with a great price, and he sold all he had. He had Jesus Christ. He sold it. He gave it up so he can bought it back to us. I love what Deborah said today. No matter what we do, He still is looking for us. He still wants us. And that's why worship is so important. If we can realize for a second where we're standing, as my sister Ruth was saying today, God is awesome. But let me tell you something. As I was listening to the Word of God, listening to the song, God put this in my heart. Do you know the place where you're standing is awesome? God is awesome. But the place that He chooses for us to come and worship, it is an awesome place. Let that sink in. You're not coming to a regular building. You're not coming to a school. You are coming to the presence of the living God. Amen. Remember what God said to Moses? Take off your sandals. Because where you are standing is holy ground. Let me tell you this. You are standing in holy ground. You know what I say that? Because listen what... this is not part of the preaching, but I need to say this. In Genesis 28:17, Jacob said this. When he went to it, he had a dream and he saw the angels going up and down. This is what he said. He said that he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. You are standing in the house of God. And every Sunday, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is going on in your house, no matter what's going on with your children, no matter what's going on with your siblings, your family, your husband and your wife, come to the holy place. Because this is where you can cry out to God and He can listen to our prayers. He can listen to our cry. He can listen to us. And He says, and this is the gate of heaven. Well, that was in the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. That is still happening today. But you got to use your imagination like Elmo. All right? This is a holy place. Okay? Don't come, well, honey, are you going to go to church today? I don't feel like going to church today. Who's going to be singing today? I think it's Jeff. who's leading? Who's shepherding today? I think it's Brother Oscar. I don't like the way he says. You're not coming for the pastor. You're not coming for the apostle. You're not coming for anybody but yourself. You are coming here to seek the living God in a holy place. Amen? So, going back to my message this morning, God loves you. Don't ever, ever forget that in your life. Because when the test comes, you need to remember this. When your children goes missing, like our sister did over here, you need to remember, Father, you love me. Help me find this child. Is she the witch yet? Amen. You need to remember that, brothers and sisters. God loves you. Okay, Galatians 2:20 it says, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You gotta say that. He loves me. Don't forget about your partner, about your family, your sibling. You gotta say it. God, you love me. Romans 5:5 says, because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Brothers and sisters, point number one, God loves you. Amen. God loves you. He thinks of you. He's concerned about you. Don't think that when you go into that trial, to that hard time, don't think that he has forgotten about you. He loves you. When your house gets flooded, he loves you. When your son just had 6 seizures last night, he loves you. When you lost your job, he loves you. When they give you the diagnosis with the doctor, he loves you. You gotta remember that. Young people, you gotta remember that. When you have to study for that chemistry test, God loves you. When you're in college, by yourself, when you have the liberty to do whatever you want because your parents are not there, you are among people that you don't know. God loves you. And he is paying attention to you. He is watching over you. And even if you make a mistake, he loves you. Don't ever forget that. Because, let's get into verse 18, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment. The test will come. Oh, point number two, God will test you. But he loves me. He will test that love. See, when you talk about finances, it's the opposite of what the world would tell you. CNNBC, all those money channels that talk about money and the wars, it will be the opposite of what they're saying to what the Word of God says about what you should do with your finances. The same thing with our trials. I used to think that because you came to Christ, all your troubles and your trials and your tests will go away. Poof! But that's when it gets harder. I think I have everybody's attention today. Yeah, and only have 15 minutes. Can I have permission to go beyond 12 o'clock? No, McDonald's is waiting. Red Robin is waiting. Point number two, God will test you. Let me give you a quick definition of the word test. It's to ascertain, it's to find out the worth of a person by subjection to certain examinations. Ask a student if they like exams and quizzes and pop quizzes and all these things. If they are ready, they say, oh yeah, bring it on, baby. I am ready. But when it comes all of a sudden and you're not prepared, it's different. It's different. Now, God loves you, and the test will come. In any way, any form, any way possible. In chapter 1 of the book of Job, Satan and God had a conversation. And God asked him, where are you coming from? He said, oh, I'm just, you know, cruising around the earth. Went to Europe, went to the Americas, went to Africa. Now, checking out the place in there. And God said this, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Dan? Have you considered my servant Ruth? Have you considered my servant, my son, my daughter? Have you considered? The test will come. Whatever test you are going through in your life at the moment, God got you. Amen. God got you. It could be a test of a week, 3 days, a year, a decade, a lifetime. We had to pass that test. My mother was diagnosed with lung cancer in 2012. Now, let me tell you, I knew for sure, 199% sure that she was going to be healed because I knew what the Word of God said. 2 years later, I had to bury her. But I know that I will see her again. It doesn't matter. I want you to understand about this. It doesn't matter if you see the promise here on earth. You will see it come to pass. See, not a lot of people clap about that. Because we are so used to hearing that you will see it here on earth. But what about when it doesn't? You're going to leave the faith? You didn't pass the test. What choice do you have? Go back to the world? Go back to what you did? I'm sorry, I'm very sincere when it comes. I have to tell you the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat it like some other people do on TV. If you don't see the promise come to pass here on earth, you will see it. Because we think this is eternity. This is not eternity. We're going to a better place. Abraham was tested. Israel was tested many times. You will be tested many times. See, this is the kind of preaching people don't like to hear. They're like Joe Osteen, right? Everything's going to be okay. Smile the world. You know? You've got to tell the truth. Christian life is hard. It's not easy. It's not easy. Young people, Christian living is not easy. Now you know the kind of teaching I'll be doing when I get them together, right? I had to get them prepared for college. I had to get them prepared when they get married. They have to hear what's ahead of them. There's no Santa Claus over there on the other side. Okay? There's no fairy tale on the other side. They have to hear it. They have to know. They have to know how to live a Christian life. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Persecution eventually will come here. You don't see it? I want to read to you Psalms 11:5. Look what it says. The Lord tests the righteousness. It's right there. All of us here, if you have Jesus in your heart, if you have said that prayer, you are righteous. You will be tested. Look at what the book of Psalms says about Joseph. Now, I heard a preaching one time about the life of Joseph. And they couldn't find anything wrong with Joseph. They couldn't find no sins. They couldn't find no errors, no mistake, nothing. There was nothing in the Bible that said, ah, yeah, right there. That's where his sin. That's where his mistake is. They couldn't find nothing on Joseph. And look what it said. Moreover, Psalms 105, 16 to 19, it says, moreover, he called for a famine. This is God talking about Israel. In the land, he destroyed all the provisions of bread. 17, he sent a man, Joseph, a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. You will be tested. I understand your silence. I understand it. Yes, I do. I know. I've been at it for 14 years. James 1:2 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith. Now, if you are under the test, if you are going through a hardship, if you are going to something very extremely hard, this is easy to say. Consider it all joy. Really? See, this is where it's the opposite of the world. Sometimes I ask myself, I ask my wife, and I say, what do you think we'll be doing if we go into this situation with Seth? And we don't have Christ. Do you think we'll be in visiting a psychiatrist? You think we'll be in depression pills? You think one of us will already say, you know what, forget it, I quit. This is not for me. It's easy to say that. I don't think I have ever seen anybody say, you know what, thank God this test is hard. Hallelujah. They took away my job. I don't have any money. I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage. And that BMW that I just got. Oh my God. Glory to God. Joy is all over me. I'm living this. We are living this. Mr. Garcia, the report says that you might have multiple myeloma. Glory to God! That's easy for someone who's not going through it. But when you're going through it, let me tell you, that's not your first response. Remember, God loves you. Don't ever forget that. He is with us in this time of hardship. See, the question is, for our lives is, whether we will experience testing. But there's one thing we need to consider when we're going through a test. And that is, how do we respond to the test? Point number three, be aware what you say. Amen. During a test. Be aware what comes out of your mouth when you're going through the test. You have no idea what I have said. Let me give you some examples. Remember John the Baptist? There's the Lamb of God. Oh God, that takes away the sin of this world. They put him in jail. Is he the one? Oh, wait a minute, John. You just said over there that he is the Lamb of God. They put him in prison. He was about to be beheaded. And he said, you know what? I'm having second thoughts over here. Can you ask him for me? Can you send somebody out? I want to ask him. Is he, are you the one? Dude, come on. Are you the one? Be careful what you say during the test. Do you remember when we used to be in school? Well, some of you are still in school. And in college or high school, whatever grade you're in, and the teacher will hand out the test and say, absolutely, there'll be no talking in my test. Let that sink in. There will be no talking during my test. That you should visit him every morning and test him every moment. Now, let me tell you something I found here, okay? In the book of Psalms, there's three places in the Bible where this verse comes out. What is man that you should think of him? Okay? But in the other verses, what Job said is not mentioned in those other three verses. That you should visit him every morning and test him every morning. That part is not in the other verses. It's not in Psalms 8:4. It's not in Psalms 144:3. That part came out of Job because he was going through it. Basically, he was saying, God, you are testing me at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, every moment. My life is going through a test. Be careful what you say during a test. Now, look what James 1:2-4 said again. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. This is the place where you can cast out your worries, your anxieties. You don't think I worry about my son, what's going to happen in his future? You don't think you worry about your wife, what's going to happen to her? What's going to happen to your husband? What's going to happen to your grandkids? There's anxiety on us. Cast it out. That kind of talking you can do. Amen. But be careful about the complaining and the grumbling. That's easy. I've been there. Believe me, I can be an expert to tell you what not to say when you're going through the test. Let me give you some examples. 2 minutes. Oh my God. Okay. One time Seth had a huge seizure, 1 hour seizure. So I had to fly him from a helicopter to the hospital. And I remember, I stood at the hospital and I said, Lord, if you don't heal Seth, I won't serve you. I will leave you. Thank God, God doesn't talk back, right? And then like a few hours later, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I say. It doesn't matter. I'm still here. And you love me. But help me. Help me, please. I need your help. I need your help. Knowing James 1:2-4, James 1:3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That word endurance is translated in four different words in the Bible, depending on which one you read. It can either be patience, it can be endurance, it can be long suffering or perseverance. So your test is tested to produce endurance. How many of you like to work out? You know that moment when you can and you say, come on, I gotta keep going. Or you're running a marathon, whatever you're doing. You know, I used to lift weights and that eighth rep, you're like, and it was shaking. You're like, no, I can do it. That push, that extra push is producing endurance in you, in the physical. In the spiritually, it's doing the same thing. Endurance produces character that stands the test. In essence, we are talking about formation of our character. See, God doesn't test us because He's angry at us. He tests us because He loves you and wants the best out of you in the middle of a storm. So faith is tested. And let me tell you what I found about faith. Some people will tell you that all you need to claim God's promise is faith. All you need, my brother, is faith. And everything you ask, it should come to pass. But that is not true. You need faith and you need endurance. It takes both for some of the promises of the Lord for us to see. What is the difference between faith and trust? See, a lot of people don't know this, but you're going to know it today. Faith is an act. I believe, Laura. I believe. I believe today what you said. But trust is an attitude. See, a lot of people fall short on the attitude. You can believe. You can read and say, oh yeah, the Bible is the Word of God, 100%. You find a promise there, but it hasn't come to pass. By His wounds, you have been healed. And you've been claiming that for 14 years, 3 years, a month, a lifetime. It's not happening. It takes trust. That's the difference. Faith and trust. Faith is an act. Anybody can act. Anybody can talk. What about your attitude? Are you committed to what you read? In all of this, brothers and sisters, remember God's mercy. You have to remember that. God loves you, and you cannot forget God's mercy. In James 5:11, it says, in the Lord, look what it says. We count those blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. I work at the National Institute of Health. I see people with cancer every single day of my working life. I see how some of them survive. I see how some of them decline. I see them all in children, adults, babies, in old people. And let me tell you something. This is what I tell people. Remember, God is merciful. Science can only go up to here. But the mercy of the Lord endures forever and ever and ever. So you have to work at it. You have to work at that endurance. And let me ask you, I was so pleased to see today the two testimonies. We need to testify. Another point, we need to see the importance to have a testimony. Young people, you may think, I don't think I have a testimony. Show me your report card. Hold on a second. You went through the hardship of the test that Pastor Pratt gave you. Mrs. Weiser gave you. You went through the hardship of putting that test. You came out on top. You have a word, a testimony. That report card says, hey, look, I have a testimony. God gave me the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge to understand and comprehend all this stuff that I need to learn that I'll probably forget when I'm 21. Okay? But I endure it. You ask me right now things that I have learned about different classes that I took in college, let me tell you, you're going to forget about it, young people. But you need to pass a test. I'm sorry to say that. You need to memorize. You need to learn that stuff to get your degree. And then you can say, you know what? I'm out of here. I got what I wanted. But you have to go through the test. Your report card, student, is your testimony. That report from the doctor, we don't understand what's going on here. That's a testimony. So whatever hardship you go into, please testify. You need to testify. That's an important, vital part of a Christian life to testify. Don't hold it back. You need to speak out of it. You need to say, you need to release it. Because you went through a test, and now you're doing the moni. Testimony. The test is passed. You pass. Now let me do the talking. I'm here to declare. I'm here to give you the facts, the evidence, the witness, a demonstration that God is alive, that He is a healer, that He is a provider, that He is what He said He is. Now, let me end with this. In the parable of the sower, you remember, everybody knows that. The power of the sower. If you don't know where it is, it's in Matthew 13. Okay? You and me, brothers and sisters, every time you hear preaching, every time you read the Word of God, and something, the Holy Spirit brings it into your heart, you will be tested. I don't know about you, but sometimes the Holy Spirit, as I'm reading the Bible, puts verses that come to you. He said, what is this ringing in my head night and day? Something's about to happen, and it's a test is coming. Look what it says. So here's Jesus explaining about the parable of the sower. He says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receive it with joy. Thank God for that word that I receive. Yet, he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. As you have a devotional, you're going to have experiences where something is going to come out, like in 3D. And it's going to enter your spirit, and you say, oh my God, this is talking to me this morning. There will be a test on it.
Amen. It's a word.
There will be a test on it. Now, if you don't read your Bible, you'll be tested anyway. Faith come. How does faith come? By the Word of God. If you have all these Bibles just collecting dust, you have a weapon which you're not using. You will be tested. But remember, I want to end with these two points. God loves you. God loves you deeply. And remember God's mercy. Remember His loving kindness to you. Remember that He is there for you. Amen. May God bless you. So let me just pray for you. Okay, as you are, let's bow and let's close this with prayer. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. Father, I have been only the vessel. Now, Father God, as this word has been released, the seed, I declare, Father God, that it will give fruit 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold. I don't care how many fold, but Father God, there will be fruit on this seed of wisdom from your word, O Lord. Father, we ask for your mercy as we go through these trials. As we endure, Father God, the tests, we want to pass with flying colors to the next level, O Lord. We thank you this morning. We bless this word, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I declare a blessing upon your people. I declare that your favor, your loving kindness, your mercy would be with them, surrounding them. Not just them, but their families, their possessions, their finances, Father God, their houses, O Lord, everything that we have received out of mercy from your hand, we declare a bless. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Let's all stand.